Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, ladies and all the business people listening in this morning. You are listening to NABWIC Talks. We are NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction. We are the voice of Black women in construction, and we welcome you to our Blog Talk Radio show this morning. If you know of someone else that would be blessed or benefit from listening to this show, feel free to jump on another line or send them a quick text and invite them to the show. Also understand that each and every one of our shows is archived, so after the show you can grab the link and forward it to a friend or listen to it again. You can always go back to www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC. We invite you to listen to any of our past shows and definitely to listen in on our future shows. We are on every Wednesday morning at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time with another exciting guest from the industry to help you learn more and just help expand our reach. And so we're super excited to have each and every one of you on this morning. This is Rachel Moore. I'm calling in from Miami, Florida, and I'd like to invite you by the NABWIC website. Just visit www.nabwic.org. There, you have an opportunity to learn more about our growing, very exciting organization. You can add yourself to our email list so you always get an alert for any of our upcoming shows and events. You can receive the newsletters, and also you can learn more about the organization and consider becoming a part of the organization and also becoming one of our future guests, which leads me to our very exciting guest this morning. Now, the guest that we have on this morning has been on our show before, and we are very, very, very excited to have her back. She is a mover and a shaker and a leader in this industry, and I'm so excited. You know, I've been able to read her bio, but I also did a little research on my own, and so I definitely want to make it clear who we're speaking with this morning, because I want everyone to absolutely understand the value of the information that we're going to receive this morning. So this morning, we have an opportunity to have a conversation with Ms. Lola Lisa DiCarlo King. Now, Lola Lisa is a licensed architect, and she can practice in several states. She is among the first 100 African-American women licensed to practice architecture in all of the United States. She's a visionary and a leader and one of the few African-American-owned architectural firms in the entire country. Now, the name of her company is Architect for Life, a professional corporation. She has a degree in architecture as well as an MBA in finance and investment banking. But what we love about Lola Lisa is she understands how to combine architecture and finance for the best return on investment for you, the client. She's been in the design and construction industry for about 27 years. She started out in 1995 as a sole proprietor right there in Greenville, North Carolina. But today she has spread to over 7 states as a professional corporation, including Massachusetts, Virginia, North Carolina, Florida, Louisiana, Texas, and Colorado. She gets where the clients need her. She's credentialed by the United States Green Building Council as a LEED accredited professional. So that is a big deal. She's also an Energy Star consultant, and that gives her the ability to help others get their buildings in Energy Star certified. Now, what I want to share, and I did a little bit of my own research on Lola Lisa, but she actually started concentrating on energy efficient design as early as 1996. So she was really one of the first people to try to become more conscious on the impact that we're having on our earth. And she has tracked energy savings as early as 1998. So she definitely understands what we'll be talking about today. So it's going to be great information. Today she's known as a sustainability strategist. Okay, so she focuses on holistic, sustainable internal operations as well as efficient building systems. She is a sought after speaker, and she has taught, she's lectured, and she is published. And so she's the visionary behind Architecture and Life, and continues to make a positive and tangible impact by helping save and operating dollars and while creating environmentally friendly outcomes. So I know I said a lot, but I just wanted everyone to really understand the power that we'll be hearing from this morning. And I just want to take a minute. I'm just so glad to have you back on our show. Good morning, Lola Lisa. How are you this morning?
I am fantastic, Rachel. Thank you so very much for allowing me to return to this awesome opportunity. It's such a pleasure to speak with you this morning.
Well, I hope you're not, I hope you're comfortable with all that I shared about you, but I just wanted everyone to really understand the depth that you have in this, in understanding this particular topic, this particular subject area. And I really want everyone to grow from what we're going to learn this morning. But I definitely want to just start by kind of reconnecting with you. I know you've been doing a lot of traveling, a lot of lecturing. You know, where are you in the country right now?
Well, this morning I am in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Really? So what's going on out in Charlotte?
Well, in Charlotte, actually this morning, Black Enterprise, along with Walmart, are sponsoring the 2020 Vision Forum Women and Entrepreneurship Conference. And I am so excited that Architect for Life, after being the ones who usually pour into others from Long Beach, California, to Denver, Colorado, to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, North Carolina, where we serve at different conferences. Today, we get to sit at the feet of some of the most outstanding female entrepreneurs in the country. I mean, I'm just so excited to be in this environment where people are coming from all over the United States to Charlotte, North Carolina, from about 9 o'clock this morning until about 2 o'clock this afternoon, to hear these speakers, and it's going to be right here in downtown Charlotte.
Awesome. Well, man, I wish I was there. You know, how important is it for us as Black women or as entrepreneurs, as business owners, business builders, to be at these types of events? What are some of the benefits that you look to gain from being there? I know it's going to be incredible to meet different business leaders from across the country, but what are you looking to gain from being there, and why should we attend these type of events?
Well, Rachel, that's a great question. We want to grow. We want to make sure that we're not reinventing the wheel, and to sit at the feet of these women who have been successful in their respective fields is such an opportunity for us to learn, for us to develop. I mean, this is an opportunity to have women explore how others have been successful, and then it helps us prepare ourselves for our ventures. I mean, we have opportunities to grow our companies just by sitting in these workshops and in these rooms listening to what these successful ladies have to say. I mean, it's just exciting just being able to hear. So we'll see how it goes, because I'm telling you, people like Lisa Price, the founder of Carol's Daughter, or Don Fitch, who's the founder and president of Puka Pure and Simple. I don't want to name all the names because I'm afraid I may forget someone, but we're talking about women who are running, you know, multi-million dollar operations. So we can't help but grow and develop by just being in their presence.
Awesome. You know, it's always great as business women to kind of plug into other women, you know, get recharged, get inspired, kind of grow your mindset, kind of grow your vision for yourself and your business. You know, a lot of times, and what many of the women on the line as business owners, one of the things that we want to credit ourselves with doing is going out, being successful, and showing what's possible for the other women that may be looking on, or for the young women that are coming up through high school and college and so on. And so I'm excited about what you're doing in your business and all the ladies that are on the line right now, but it's definitely a great benefit to be able to plug in. So good for you for being able to be there this morning, and I hope to get to chat with you after so you can maybe share some of the things you gained.
Oh, thanks, Rachel. That would just be an honor to be able to share.
Yeah. Now, I know, Lola Lisa, that it's sometimes refreshing and maybe a little bit of a break to sometimes be able to be at an event where you can be on the receiving end and, like you say, kind of sit at the feet of other leaders and kind of just listen and learn, because I know many times you are the speaker, you are the educator, you're the one on the panel or on the platform really sharing and helping people grow. I know that you were recently featured at the APTA conference. You were actually a panelist there. Tell us what the APTA is and a little bit about your Architect for Life's contribution by being on that panel.
Well, APTA is the American Public Transportation Association, and that is an outstanding organization where you have transit professionals that come together and really look out for the health, safety, and welfare of public transit riders. We have so many different areas that serve the public in terms of being able to transport the American citizens either in rural areas or in urban areas. Mm-hmm. And so that is what APTA concentrates on, to be able to serve the communities across America with public transportation. So just recently, a portion of APTA had a sustainability and public transportation workshop, and that was in Philadelphia. And so it was hosted by the Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority, known as SEPTA. And, oh, my goodness, it was such a grand conference. I mean, this year the event focused on the connection between sustainability and the state of good repair. And it talked about how innovative partnerships are being forged to advance both of those objectives. And so the panel on which Architect for Life participated delivered a session called Sustainability Seminars Part 2, Sustainable Businesses Practices and Sustainable Organizations. And it was so enlightening because the whole session focused on sustainable business practices and operations in areas such as manufacturing, project management, and even employee engagement. And there was emphasis on sustainable practices in organizations, including green offices, performance metrics, and even sustainability reporting. So you had just a wonderful group of people just on this panel that contributed to all of these different areas. But, Rachel, I have to tell you what Architect for Life's specific golden nugget was. We were able to break down all of the background statistics to explain why we need to look at reducing our electricity and water consumption here in the United States, and how individuals in an office environment can really make a difference. We talked about ways where we can reduce our electrical consumption just from no cost or low cost improvements that we can do just as people who work in our offices every day. Mm-hmm. And it was just interesting that by the time Architect for Life finished, people could walk away with practical things that they could actually start and implement as soon as they got back to their respective cities. So it was really kind of interesting, so that they would lead with something they could actually use.
You know, that's incredible. And I just, again, I know I keep saying it, but I really appreciate The information and the education that you put forth, because, you know, as everybody raises the consciousness, when we just learn, you know, I like to think that when we know better, we do better. And I know that's not always true, but just as we just kind of learn, we can change those little habits, and then by just being able to impact those few people that were there, or the many people that were there, now they go back to their offices. They're an example for someone else. And so I think that the reach that your information has, or the impact, is even bigger than the people that were present. So I think that's pretty powerful. And we're hoping to maybe have you on the show in the future to maybe share some of those same ideas with our listeners, because, again, people listen live and then they listen on archive. We can spread the word, but we really want to get the information out on how we can just operate in a more, shall I say, earth-friendly way. So, listen, I know that there's a traditional way that we think of architecture, let's say. Help us understand the connection between the practice of architecture and these ideas, or, you know, the operational dollar, so to speak.
Oh, well, when a company is looking at their overall corporate budget, and they're in a scenario where they're trying to cut costs, well, the operational dollars are very critical in terms of whether or not they can reduce their budget numbers and hopefully, in some instances, increase the operating capital that they have to work with. Mm-hmm. So in this case, when we look at architecture, you know, architecture is an art and it's a science. And it's artfully and skillfully putting these pieces of a puzzle together in a way that allow the form and shape of a building or even a master plan to follow the functions that occur within. So you may have heard the phrase, you know, form follows function. Well, the one thing we realized at Architect for Life is that you can have this beautiful form, but if it doesn't have an operations plan or method and resources necessary for people to live and work comfortably within this beautiful form, then it could lead to economic chaos. So when company owners have to cut back or make critical personnel or operational decisions because either there's no sustainability plan, no track to follow, or worse, no dollars to keep the lights on and the building's, you know, conditioned and ventilated, then no matter how beautiful that architectural form, it may not only fail environmentally, but it can contribute to a financial downfall if the people within it and the operations of the people and the processes therein
don't create
a sustainable environment. So it fails economically, even though it might be a beautiful structure. So hence, architecture, that art, that science, has to somehow have a clear understanding of operations inside the buildings in which we design so that we can have a total successful project. So,
wow.
Yes, that's how it ties together.
So, listen, so when you're meeting with that new client, I mean, is that something that the client views as normal? Like, how does an architectural firm credibly and successfully kind of involve itself in that business portion, the business portion of its clients? You know, how does that kind of work out as you're approaching the new project?
Well, our credibility comes from constant daily reading and research on the latest green technologies and life cycle costing to better help our clients make good decisions. Plus, our credibility involves creating and maintaining a track record of being able to show cost savings through implementation of various energy saving and water saving, green procurement alternatives. So our firm really believes that because we have all these statistics and we have all this research, that it allows us to show our credibility because we have the numbers to back up what we say and what we offer our clients as options. It's typically not the norm. We understand that most architectural firms, you know, they just concentrate on the beautiful design, and good design usually is a sustainable design. Where we take it a step further and what keeps us ahead of the curve is that we're able to combine that beauty of architecture with our research and our credibility in the market to offer our clients the options that they need to make the very, very best decisions. We work it in. We let them know that this is just our standard operating procedure as an architectural firm. And then they can appreciate it because what we bring to the table makes sure that not only will their buildings be sustainable, but the actual corporation will be long-term, more financially sustainable.
Wow. So it's really sounds like a complete, well-rounded, service that you provide for your clients. And so I'm sure they all really, really appreciate that. So let me ask you this. What kind of information does Architect for Life share when helping the client save money, you know, internally, helping them save money from within, you know, or save on their operational dollars, so to speak?
Well, what we do is we help them outline a sustainable management plan. And once we understand exactly what the company does or what the organization does or what the agency does, because we do this in the public sector as well as in the private sector. So once we understand the people and what their operations are in terms of day-to-day tasks, what it is they're trying to do, then we help them develop their own sustainable management plan. And once you have the leadership on board and the management on board, then it's easier to get the employees on board. We help them define options that actually tie some of their decisions to dollars. We'll run analysis and calculations for them and with them. We give them some key financial questions that they should ask and think about when they're making some of their critical decisions in terms of, well, should we purchase this type of product or should we consider doing a retrofit, or is it something simple that we can do in terms of our procurement processes? And also, we give them a practical equipment checklist, whereby they can go into their mechanical and electrical systems, particularly if they have people on staff that can go and check certain items just to make sure that things are calibrated correctly. Because sometimes you can have the best equipment, but if it's not calibrated correctly, you're still not running efficiently and you end up using more electricity.
Right.
And then probably the last bit of the information that I'll share with you this morning is we give them some quick fixes. Like we'll say, this is a list of no-cost items that you could implement pretty easily, and these are low-cost items that you can implement fairly easily. And so that at least gets the culture going and even gets the employees more involved so that they can have a participatory process and more stakeholders can get involved. And that'll lead to even more success.
Wow. I just want to remind all of the leaders, I'm sure that everyone is just really excited about what they're hearing this morning, Lola Lisa. I just want to remind all of the leaders that are listening in this morning that we are speaking with Lola Lisa D. King, currently in Charlotte, North Carolina, but Lola Lisa D. King of Architect for Life. And so we are super glad to have you on this morning. Lola Lisa, what are some of the other things that you can share that you're currently working on in the area of sustainability?
Well, let's see. We may have mentioned the last time that we were on Block Talk with you, Rachel, that there is a Rammed Earth a commercial office building that we were able to serve as lead administrator on, and we are getting ready to submit for LEED Gold certification for that particular facility. And when we compare it to similar structures of size and type, they're actually getting 40% lower electricity usage.
Wow.
So we're pretty excited about that. We did a full workshop at the Conference of Minority Transportation Officials in Denver just in July. And even right here in North Carolina, we've been connecting with folks like Teresa Drummond of Green Property Solutions in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, because Teresa truly focuses from a property management point of view on green property solutions. Mm-hmm. And we can't forget the amazing J.C. Burton of Woodline Solutions with scores of sustainable brick-and-mortar projects under her belt. Mm-hmm. Architect for Life is fortunate to be working with Woodline Solutions. They work out of Atlanta and Raleigh as they launch some up-and-coming sustainable solutions to help serve our industry. And actually, just yesterday, we were able to meet with Jonathan Walk, who is the architect of the first LEED Platinum hotel in the country. And believe it or not, that is located right nearby in Greensboro, North Carolina. It's called the mm-hmm. Proximity Hotel. And just to be able to collaborate and share information, you know, Architects for Life really does try to stay ahead of the curve. And so when we communicate with folks like Jonathan, you know, that helps us keep our skills sharp. You know, it's like mm-hmm. iron sharpening iron.
Exactly.
And then just yesterday afternoon, we met with a group that's designing and planning and soon to be building what we hope to be the most sustainable 400-acre mixed-use community that we will probably ever see in this country. It's just an amazing the team that they're pulling together. So Architect for Life is hoping to serve them while working with others in our industry to help this enormous vision become a reality. So currently, we really hope that Architect for Life, not just now, but even long term, we realize that we must align ourselves with different organizations that really want to work together so that we can make a tangible difference, helping our clients contribute to environmental sustainability with economic stability. So that's where we are right now, Rachel.
Wow. Well, we thank you for your involvement with NABWIC because, again, we all want to pull together, support what you're doing, learn from what you're doing, and make a difference in our businesses and continue to spread the word. I want to, you know, as we begin to wind down, you know, I just want to have a quick question for you. And many of our women are in construction. Maybe they're out in the field right now. Maybe they're on a site. And some of them don't have as much time in the office as others, but all of us are hearing about a new technology. We've heard of iCloud. And we're hearing this word cloud kind of float around a little. Tell us a little bit, or just kind of bring us up to speed or kind of fill us in on what cloud computing is.
Well, cloud computing allows an organization to contract for its IT operations, its hardware, its software, its security, usually on a monthly subscription basis through what we call a cloud computing provider. And all that is, Rachel, is instead of having your computer equipment on site and you have all of these towers and you have all of this, all of these servers, it's actually off site. And through wireless technology and fiber optic cabling, it helps you take all of those files, all of that paperwork, all those manila folders, all of those cabinets, and you're able to scan information for older files and put them in electronic format and then store them in a very safe location electronically. And then all the new files that you're creating, you are actually saving them into the cloud or on a server that's remotely located. So Architects for Life, one of the things that keeps us so efficient is that we went into the cloud in 2008, and we have our own server from which our team members can pull important files from anywhere, in or out of the country, just as long as we can get internet connection. So some of the real pluses of this cloud computing that you're hearing